Centrum Financial versus Union Bank.
Good morning to the court. My name is Rick Woth, and I'm appearing on behalf of Centrum Financial Services. I would request 4 minutes on rebuttal. We're here before this court on a very singular issue, its interpretation of the Deed of Trust Act and what it's meant by the term successor as used in the statute. The facts are undisputed. Centrum Financial is a second position lender on a piece of property. Union Bank was the first position lender. Centrum foreclosed and became the owner of the property by virtue of a deed of trust. At that time, Centrum became aware that the first position deed had gone into default and requested the reinstatement amount pursuant to the Deed of Trust Act in order to reinstate that loan, carry out the terms of that loan, and ultimately refinance or manage or own the property.
So if we look at 6124090, subsection 1, you are at that point no longer a beneficiary under a subordinate deed of trust or any entity having a subordinate lien or encumbrance. You are arguing you are a grantor.
Yes, Your Honor.
And so you concede that after the foreclosure proceeding, you are an owner.
Yes, Your Honor. That is correct.
So then the issue you've identified as successor, it really relates to the definition of grantor, which is in 6124005.
Yes, Your Honor. And pursuant to that statute, it allows a grantor, by the definition, a grantor
or its successors.
Yes.
Who executes a deed of trust to encumber, et cetera.
Yes.
How do you fit into the second part of that definition?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that it's tempting to jump on that and say,
well, it's all part of the same phrase.
I agree. It's tempting to say and read that successor and then the next signature, who executes, in isolation without looking at the intent of the statute, because the successor would never be the one who executes the original deed of trust. It would always be the original borrower who, and so a successor would never, under any circumstance, ever be the one who signs the deed of trust.
So how then, here we have the original deed of trust is between Priam and Development and originally Frontier Bank, now Union Bank, correct?
Yes.
So how then is Centrum in privity with Priam?
I don't believe privity is a requirement under the statute.
Well, how are you a successor to Priam? You're not an entity that is on the note.
Correct.
And you're not an entity that is on the deed of trust between Priam and Union Bank.
Yeah, that is correct, Your Honor.
So how are you a successor?
We are a successor because when they took the property, they took it subject to the deed of trust. And what the bank
When
is
they took the property, who they?
Centrum, when Centrum foreclosed, it took the property subject to the deed of trust. And keep in mind, we are under the Deed of Trust Act and the remedies that are provided when there is a deed.
Well, you had title, but title is subject to the outstanding deed of trust on the property.
That is correct, and my client always acknowledged that. Our position is that we are the successor in interest to the property and took subject to the deed of trust. And as successor to the ownership of that property, we believe we had a right to reinstate. And the term and the usage that we want the court to adopt under successor is the same common nomenclature used in the lending industry and has been used by this court in other matters, meaning the successor is the subsequent owner of the property.
Well, in your brief, you cite to the Condominium Act. What are you relying on other than the Condominium Act for your definition of successor in the Deed of Trust Act.
Yeah, I will acknowledge that it is an undefined term under the Deed of Trust Act, and I'm not aware of any case law interpreting that. However, what we do have are certain documents here where our interpretation is the same interpretation used by the bank. For example, under the Deed of Trust, they specifically talk about the successor or if ownership of the property becomes vested in another person, grantor without notice, may deal with the grantor's successor. That's in the Deed of Trust Act, the Deed of Trust held by Union Bank. Also, the underlying the underlying lease with the state also contemplates the same usage that's being adopted or advocated by Centrum in this particular matter, that they are the successor in the ownership of the property, which is subject to the Deed of Trust, which is under the Deed of Trust Act.
So for purposes of your argument about how we should interpret successor, if we don't look at the Condominium Act, you are arguing that the Deed of Trust language and the lease language indicates how successor should be interpreted in this case.
Yes, Your Honor. The cases that we cited the court to were merely to show that that's common usage, from our perspective, across the broad spectrum of real estate transactions, meaning the successor. It's not the successor to preem. It's the successor in ownership to the real property, which is subject to the Deed of Trust. And that is the same language and usage adopted by the bank in its own lending documents, in its own leasing documents, and when the bank appointed a receiver. That was the same language utilized by the court-appointed receiver that was advocated by Union Bank. And finally, Your Honor, we believe that public policy strongly supports our interpretation as well.
Well, we wouldn't get into that. I mean, I think if you're going to make a public policy argument, you can go to the legislature.
Fair enough. Unless the court has other questions, I'll reserve.
Right,
thank you.
4 minutes.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. Andrew Escobar with the L.A. Piper on behalf of Respondent Union Bank. Appellant, in his opening brief and also in his opening remarks, conceded that there's a singular issue raised on this appeal, and is the only argument that the appellant raised below. And so I'll focus my remarks on that. It's a definitional issue. What is a successor to a grantor under the Deed of Trust Act?
And it's not defined.
And it is not defined. There's no definition of successor, correct? There is a grantor. And in my remarks, I'm going to...
And the grantor here is preem.
The grantor under the Deed of Trust held by Union Bank was preem, correct, Your Honor.
And that was to secure a promissory note.
Correct.
And that promissory note was between Preem and originally Frontier Bank.
Correct, Your Honor.
So now we know who the grantor is.
We do know who the grantor is.
So what's your argument about why then if we look at the language of the Deed of Trust and I guess they've referenced the lease, we shouldn't agree that by virtue of ownership of the land, now Centrum has become the successor to the Deed of Trust.
Certainly. I'll address the point about the Deed of Trust language right now because that's a point that Centrum has truncated the language that they're quoting. If you actually look at the Deed of Trust, and I believe it is on CP 316, it actually speaks to the successor as that the Deed of Trust shall be binding upon and inure to the benefit of the parties and their successors. So this, again, speaks to the privity of contract issue that came up.
Well, he says counsel says, I am not to use privity.
Well, I think,
I think you can't use privity either. I mean, how do you get around that?
Well, I think you have to use privity, Your Honor. In order to be a successor to a grantor, you have to step into the grantor's shoes with respect to the deed
of trust.
Is
there any case law that supports that?
There is, Your Honor. Not within Washington State Court, but there are a couple of Eastern District of Washington cases that we cited in our brief. The first is the Ramirez-Melgoze case, and it was decided by Judge Succo in 2000. And that one actually had a very interesting set of points made in there, Your Honor. In affirming a bankruptcy court's decision that the subsequent owner was not a successor to the grantor.
Those are not binding. I mean, there's we can accept or reject or pay attention or not pay attention.
Well, of course, Your Honor. I would argue it's persuasive authority. Those are the two cases to actually look and grapple with this issue, and I think the reasoning is quite persuasive. As Judge Succo said in his decision, it would be illogical to extend the definition of successor to a party which had no liability on the underlying obligation. And in reaching this, and this is, I think, the key point for us here, Judge Succo observed he pointed to RCW 61.24.040, so a little bit, a few sections back in the Deed of Trust Act regarding notice of sale. And he said, the legislature would not have provided an additional separate list of parties entitled to receive notice of the sale, which includes parties similarly situated to appellant, i.e., subsequent owner of the property, if the term grantor already encompassed that. And so looking at RCW 61.24.040, it's section 1B, and then Romanets 1 and 3. And so of the parties, it's a broader list than what we have under the 090 sub 1. The parties that are entitled to receive notice of a sale, Romanet 1, the borrower and grantor. Then we skip down to Romanet 3, the holder of any conveyance of any interest or estate in any portion or all of the property that was described if the contract, lease, or conveyance was recorded after the deed of trust. That's the situation we have here. Centrum fits within sub 3. They are a subsequent owner, and that is accounted for in the notice provision of the Deed of Trust Act. And it is a separate entity than grantor. It would be redundant to have that provision in there if a subsequent property owner could be deemed a grantor. And again, a lot of the cases that Centrum cited speak to a subsequent owner of title. That's different than being a subsequent owner of or a successor on a deed of trust. Looking at the definitions,
well, they did receive title.
They did receive title, Your Honor. Correct.
But what they want to argue is that they are a successor to the deed of trust.
And they are not, Your Honor. The deed of trust had a number of contractual obligations that a grantor is bound by. And if you're going to be a successor to the grantor, you must be bound by those as well. And that includes a contractual obligation to Union Bank to pay taxes on the property, a contractual obligation to maintain the property and repair it, a contractual obligation to pay attorney's fees in the event that the bank has to enforce a deed of trust. And I don't think Centrum wants to be in a position where they are arguing that.
Well, whether they want to be in that position or not, does the record show that they assumed any of those responsibilities?
No, Your Honor.
Certainly they wanted to make the payments on the note.
They did want to make the payments for the portion of monthly payments are in arrears, and they offered to pay some of the taxes, but again,
yes,
offering
did.
Does not mean that Union Bank was obligated to accept that they had not assumed the note, and Union Bank was within its rights and for its own business reasons not to want to enter into a lending relationship with Centrum. And one key fact, actually, that wasn't responded to in the briefing and didn't come up in opening remarks, is the amount that was due was the full amount of the note. When title transferred, that was a default under the promissory note and under the deed of trust in two ways. A, because there was a foreclosure on a subordinate lien, that was a default. Can't cure that. That was a default. And then, secondly, the transfer of title without Union Bank's consent. Again, another default. Now, of course, there was a lack of payment on the monthly amounts. So what happened was the entire amount was accelerated. And when Centrum wanted to reinstate, they asked Union Bank, let's just pay, the monthly payments are due. We said, no, you must pay the full amount owed on the loan. That's the only deal we're going to make at this point. And Centrum could have, and it chose not to. That's all. So even if we were to assume.
Now, but it was accelerated, the amount was accelerated, what, by the terms of the note?
And the deed of trust itself. And
is there language that specifically addresses that? If we were to look?
Sure, Your Honor. The acceleration would be on CP 311. Due on sale, consent by a lender is one of them, is one of the sections. Events of default, this would be CP 314, creditor or forfeiture proceedings. A foreclosure of a subordinate interest is a default as well. And so it can be accelerated.
And they did.
The loan was accelerated, correct, Your Honor.
So Union Bank viewed the junior lien holder taking title as a default under the terms of the note and the deed of trust?
Correct, Your Honor, because there was a foreclosure and B, a transfer of title without Union Bank's consent. And turning back to the successor point again, just if you look at the structure, and I believe, Judge Schindler, you were touching on this in the opening remarks, the way successor is used, not just in grantor, but with borrower and guarantor, it makes it quite clear that the successor has contemplated each of these three categories is one who bears the liability of its predecessor in interest. So, I mean, if we think about it,
well, that's looking at the language that follows grantor or successor, who executes, et cetera.
Correct, or borrower or guarantor as well. And if we think about it, under Centrum's argument, they would also be a successor to the borrower, but they don't qualify as that. They are not a borrower on the note, nor did they undertake the obligations of it. Now, the guarantor is not an issue here in this case, but again, the way the legislature used successor is framed with respect to liabilities, and those two Eastern District of Washington cases touch on that. On one brief
they
note,
do touch. I mean, I do think they're factually distinguishable.
Not necessarily. I mean, they deal with a sub. They're only factually distinguishable in the sense that that they don't necessarily have a junior lien holder that foreclosed and took title. They are squarely on point because they deal with subsequent property owners who were not in, who did not who were not in privity with the lender and who did not assume the obligations of the deed of trust. They just simply took title separate and apart from kind of a basic transfer.
And that's what you argue Centrum did.
Correct, Your Honor. Correct. And Judge Rice's decision in the Barnhart v. Fidelity case is good law, in my opinion. I mean, the Ninth Circuit did not disagree with Judge Rice's decision. All the Ninth Circuit did was simply say, even if we assume that the appellant is right and that they are a borrower or a grantor, they still lose because under a pair of subsequent Washington Supreme Court decisions that came down after Judge Rice's decision, that would be the Frias and the Lyons case. And they said, so regardless, appellant, you lose. Doesn't
well, you
matter.
Don't, in this case, I doubt you want us to assume that Centrum is a grantor or a successor.
Correct. We would not make that assumption, Your Honor.
So that would not, that wouldn't help you? That
no.
Case.
I just simply wanted to point out that Judge Rice's decision was still, was not reversed by the Ninth Circuit.
All right.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I'd like to address the issue on the acceleration of the note first. I'm not aware of any facts in the record which indicates that the lender accelerated the note in the underlying matter.
Well, there is evidence in the record that Union Bank was taking the position that it was not willing to allow Centrum to simply make payments, that Centrum had to pay the entire amount due. So you can infer from that that they did accelerate. I mean, otherwise, why were they taking the position you had to pay the entire amount due?
2 points. One, they would have had to make that affirmative representation that they are accelerating the note. It is not automatic. It is at the election of the lender. Second, if you look at Clerk's Paper 197, when they filed their notice of foreclosure, they put the reinstatement amount at $533,000. That's right before it predicated this lawsuit. We believe that amount was grossly excessive of what it actually was. That's why we demanded an accounting. So they were taking a contrary position to the notice or to the notion that they had accelerated the note because they were providing a reinstatement figure in the foreclosure notice just 6 weeks prior to the initiation of this suit. So we believe that it's factually inaccurate that they had accelerated the note because the open representation to the public was that they had not. With respect to the two cases cited to this court, we're very troubled.
These are the Eastern District cases?
Yes. I'll take the Barnhart decision. What the decision was based in Barnhart was that no foreclosure had occurred, therefore there were no damages, therefore there was no basis for a lawsuit. With respect to the Ramirez case, that was a bankruptcy adversary matter where there had been a settlement agreement reached that specifically provided that if payment hadn't been made within 14 days, the bank in that matter was entitled to foreclose. Entirely factually different, and any of the language that touches on the issues is really, I think, not on point and perhaps just a dicta that's not applicable, certainly not binding among this court. Your Honor, we believe that the overall picture here is that there are a number of documents before the court that indicate who's a successor, and we believe the successor
is... And that would be the deed of trust, the lease agreement, and is there anything else?
Yes, Your Honor, and I pointed the court to the other common usage in other statutes and other cases where in real estate transactions we talk about the successor, up to and including the common dictionary definitions used by courts in other matters about what and who constitutes a successor. And Centrum, under those definitions, is a successor who should have been allowed the right to reinstate. The bank would have been made 100% whole. They would have suffered no damages whatsoever by allowing reinstatement. With that in mind, we would request the court reverse the trial court's decision and send this back for further adjudication.
All right. Thank you very much. That concludes our calendar for this morning. We will be at recess.
Court is in recess.